last time I was before you, we were talking about we believe. Remember, we started out, we believe in God the Father. And then we were going to go to, we believe in Jesus Christ. And then the third one, at this very beginning, we're going to talk about we believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, the first time we talked about we believe in God. Now, today, we're going to talk, we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we want to bring out is Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. Now, you're going to say, Dave, that's kind of odd. Everybody kind of believes in that, don't they? No, everybody does not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. We have agnostics in the world. We have atheists in the world. You have different religions in the world that do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, we were talking, I was talking the other day, I can't remember who I was talking to, but I sat there and said, you know what? I would rather live my life believing in a God, believing in Jesus Christ, and believing in a heaven, and waking up after I die and finding out that there isn't, than living my life like there wasn't a God, there isn't a Jesus Christ, and there isn't a heaven, and dying and finding out that there is. How do you want to live your life today? Believing in Jesus Christ. Believing in God. It's not just saying the words. See, people believe, it's like, and I'm going to go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All they look at is that first part, Brother Lee, and say, God loved the world. That whosoever, what? Believeth in Him. So they think, well, God's love. God loves everybody. But it's no, it's not. Those that believe in Him. And that's not an outward profession. That's an inward belief. The songs that we sang today kind of showed us that, Brother Leroy. It's an inward belief. And we talk being nearer to God. You know, I've sang that song a lot of times, but you know, with that one second or third verse when it sat there and it said, yet in my dreams I be nearer my God to thee. It's amazing those words that are in that song right there. So, we believe in Jesus Christ. There's more to it. Just like there's more to being a Christian. In the New Testament, those who were of the way. Now, back then, that was a bad thing to be, wasn't it? To be of the way. Because you were of the way. We seen Saul was going around and gathering together any who believed in what? Believed in Jesus Christ. They were of the way. They believed in Jesus Christ. And they would take men, women, and children, put them into prison. Some of them they would even kill. You know how they say history kind of repeats itself? It's history. History could repeat itself again. In this day and age, they could come up to you and say, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? How are going to you answer that question today? Hopefully we're going to say, I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that He's going to come again. And He's going to take us and to be with Him. Because He says in the Bible, for where I am, what does He say? You are going to be also. Do we believe that? See, when we talk about we believe, there's a lot of things in the Bible. Do we believe? Do we believe the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and what He tells us? He says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come and gather you unto myself that where I am, you may be also. We believe right now today, we believe, Bill, Jesus Christ is where? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So we believe, yeah, we're talking about we believe in God the Father. We went through a lot of good passages. We're going to go through a lot of good passages today. But it encompasses more than just saying it. We got to live it. You have to live like you believe in God the Father, that you believe in Jesus Christ. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And we might not get into a lot like Pentecostals or some other religions and whatever. But do you believe in the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians, talk about praying in the Spirit. We have to do these things. Look at John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now everybody should say amen to these words that are written here by John. And we look at it in verse 14, it says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of what? The only begotten of the Father. And then it says what? Full of grace and truth. And that's him. Jesus Christ is full of grace. He's full of truth. Now, a lot of people and a lot of other religions said to say, well, it doesn't really come out and say Jesus Christ. But we know that what? Who is the Word? The Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. We're starting to talk here about the Trinity. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ was not an afterthought with God. He was there at the very beginning. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is life. He's given unto us that spiritual life. Because we were spiritually dead. We were physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. And because of that, we could not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because what does it say? They are foolishness unto them. And every one of us will testify amen to that, because it was. You've heard me say. You heard a lot of us say. Brother Leroy himself said he believed he was free will for a while there. Until the Spirit, I know I'm getting a little bit of my, but the Spirit of God that entered into his heart in the regeneration showed him. And then he knew that the things that he believed in at one time were wrong. Remember that? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to Leroy. It didn't reveal it to Roger or Bill or anybody else. It's the Spirit of God that reveals it unto us. And we now see and know and can understand these things. And the life was the light of men. Now, you know when they have that little light bulb that goes off? And you know what? When you're regenerated, that light goes on. You're no longer a child of darkness. You're a child of light. And what does it say in Ephesians? Walk as children of light. Remember I said we believe. We believe encompasses more than just saying it. How we live our lives, our walk in life, is what is going to show that we believe in Jesus Christ. You know, remember when John the Baptist came, everybody thought, oh, here's the Messiah. And he proclaimed right from the very beginning, didn't he? I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I came to bear witness of the light. And that's what he said. Look at in verse 10, talking about Jesus. He was in the world. He was in the world. And what does it say? And the world was made by him. And what does it say? And the world knew him not. It says he came unto his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe. Here we go again. We got that word believe. That word believes a lot in the Bible. They believe on his name, which were born. This get down to some nitty gritty here, isn't it, Brother Leroy? Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. How come people can't see that, Brother Leroy? That it says in here, it's not of the will of man. It's not of the free will of man. But it says, but it's what? Of who? Of God. It's of God. Thank God for verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh and it dwelt among us. And that's where he goes, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn to John 14. Verse 6. No, let's just start at verse 1. We talked about this a little bit. Let's read verse 1 through 6. Jesus starts out speaking and says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's not by man. It's not by these churches that sit there and say, we saved 20 souls. It's very plainly says in here. It's not any of those things. But do we hear the words of him? He says, I am. I am. It's kind of reminiscent of the Old Testament, isn't it, Brother Roger? When Moses says, who do I tell the people, who do I tell Israel who you are? He says, I am. I am. It's kind of reminiscent of that, isn't it? I am. God says, I am. But, you know, beside me, what does he say? There is none else. There's none else. He says, I am. Thomas asked him, we don't know the way, Lord. Jesus is now very plainly talking to them. You know, a lot of times the disciples, they said to the apostles, they go, you know, you're talking in riddles. You're talking in parables. Speak it very plainly. So now he tells them very plainly. I am. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can go unto God but through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us each and every day. We have an advocate with the Father. I'm going to go to see, we're going to see some words of Jesus Christ. Brother Leroy gave me a list one time. We're going to go look at a few scriptures. I can't go through them all because we'd be sitting here for another 3 hours probably going through all these things. But you know, these are some words for the name for Jesus Christ. He's an advocate. He's our intercessor. These are names of Jesus Christ. He intercedes in our behalf. And we need an intercessor. Let me tell you. We really do. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I like the way the Bible puts it, you know, there's only one way, there's only one truth, and there's only one life. There's only one. There's only one. That's the way it is. Like it talks in Ephesians, I think it was chapter 3, where it talks about one all the time. One, one, one. Now, I want to go back a little bit, because I want to go to John 3:16. I know I kind of alluded to it a little bit and probably talked a little bit about it, but let's go that there again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It all comes down to that believe. Believe. And like I said, we're learning today, I hope you learned today, that believing is more than just saying it. Than just saying it. You know, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, we believe in Him because how are you going to really love somebody that you don't believe in? We believe. We love Him. We believe in Him. So we want to do His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Is there anything out of bounds? Anything really way far out of bounds that Jesus has asked us to do in His commandments? No. Because of the essence that He has in Him, but with God, they can't do things or can't ask us to do things that are what? Contrary to their will. God can't do anything contrary to His will. Jesus Christ can't do anything contrary to His will. Neither can the Holy Spirit. They can't do things that are contrary to their will. Not at all. He gave. So we're looking at two things in verse 16. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus did what? He gave His life for us as the only begotten of the Father. He gave it. So we see that He's the only begotten Son of the Father, but then we see that word believe. We've seen that a lot already today. Believe. Believing in Him. Look at John 3 and verses 5 through 8. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest it, hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ is telling us something here. If we believe in Him, we believe in these words that He says. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And in verse 7, he marvel not Don't be amazed at that. Don't be like, okay, this is something really weird or anything. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Every single child of God will be born again. From now until the second coming, from the time that Jesus died upon the cross to this time, it's been that way. From this time until the second coming, that is the way it's going to be. You must be born again. And the King James Version is not wishy-washy. I believe a lot of these newer versions are wishy-washy on these things. You must be born again. There's no other way. There's no other way. Not at all. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to see what else Jesus is. I must have got the wrong chapter. It's chapter 4. I'm sorry. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, you know, Brother Leroy, I could have sat here and just opened up the Bible to Matthew and just started reading Matthew, and we'd see Jesus Christ everywhere. I don't care. There's not a book in the New Testament that you don't see Jesus Christ. But when we look at this here, we see that we have a great high priest, Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So we can see the Bible is again declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. And we have another name for Jesus Christ. It's the great high priest. He's the great high priest. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold firmly to what we profess to be. Christians. It's Christians. It's what we believe, right? Look at what it says. We don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I just love all these qualifying statements in the Bible. I look for them, Brother Roger, to see these things. He was in all points tempted like as we are, but yet he never submitted to anything, did he? He never sinned. Not once in his life. Why? You know, he was that perfect sacrifice for sin. So he could not have sinned through his life. Because he was that sacrifice for sin. You know, even Jesus sat there and he says, you know what? I'm not here to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We were reading a devotion the other day, and the Baptist Bible Hour, and it talked about, I can't remember what the scripture was, that I must be about my Father's business. And then as they started going in the devotion, do you know when that statement was made? I must be about my Father's business. Remember when he went to Jerusalem with his parents when he was 12 years old? And when they went back home, and it was, you know, people think that's strange that they traveled for 2 days and didn't realize he was with them. But if you study the customs and the times of back then, you found out, because I was kind of curious to this, and I've got a book that's Customs and Manners of the Bible. And it says that was normal, that when you had a whole group of the family, all these families, you know, that would travel together, when they would have to go to, I can't remember exactly what it was when they went to Jerusalem for, but that they would be with some other part of the family. So that was not unusual for them to not have seen Jesus for maybe 2 days. But when they sat there and they thought, well, they kind of looked for him and they said that it was with no other members of the family, they went back. And they found him what? Sitting with the doctors and the lawyers and everything, talking and asking questions. And then when his mom and dad kind of said something to him, he says, know you not that I must be about my Father's business. Now we can come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can do that. We can confidently come unto that throne of grace. And what? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many times? How many times have we been to that throne of grace? Just think about that. How many times do you go to that throne of grace? Needless to say, I would say daily we should be there. I don't know about anybody else, but I need grace and I need mercy each and every day of my life. I need that. And isn't it really good to know that we have someone that we can go to? Because we believe in Jesus Christ. So because we can believe in Jesus Christ, we can go to that throne of grace to find the help that we need to make it through situations. You know, we look at Susie's prayer today, you know, for the family that they can get along. When she asked that prayer request, you know what? There's somebody up above that heard that. Because she was looking to that throne of grace to find the help that they're going to need. That they're going to need. So this family can get together. Because if they don't get together, they're going to grow apart. It's going to tear them up rather than bringing them together. Just like we as a church need to do that. Because if we don't stay together, what's going to happen with us? We're going to fall apart too. So it's all of us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to look at 22 through 27. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. So we can see he has an unchangeable priesthood. He is made a surety of a better testament. In verse 25 it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. See? All these words are put here for a reason and for a meaning. And we can see this just goes along with what we said just a little bit earlier now, that we must come unto the Father by him. And here it says again, coming to him, seeing that he, talking about Jesus Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's ever living to make intercession for us. until when he's going to come back and gather us unto himself. We can see how good the Father is unto us when he says, you know, Jesus Christ doesn't need to daily offer up sacrifice for sins. He doesn't have to do that daily. He died once. Once for that. Offered up himself to die for him. It's just so wonderful when we look at these things. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. Call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. She's going to bring forth a son. She's going to call his name Jesus. For he shall save. Does it say the whole world? No. It says very plainly, going to save his people. Now you would think that's, you know, just a little statement like that, people don't look at it, but save his people from the sins. But then Jesus Christ later on talks about that, for all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and of all those that come unto me, I'm not going to lose a single one. Again, I'm paraphrasing, not quoting Scripture. How wonderful it is when we can be called a Christian. That's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. A good thing. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to do that. So we're gonna look at some other scriptures for the remainder of the time. You don't have to turn to these. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We see all these different names of Jesus. But this is what it is. So we can see, even in the Old Testament, see, the Old Testament foretells of the things that are going to happen in the New Testament concerning Jesus Christ. The New Testament is the fulfilling of the Old Testament because it's talking about it here. Unto us a child is born. Unto a son is given. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we just read Matthew 1:23. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. It's amazing when we look at all these things and we see these things. To testify unto you these things in the churches. You know, Brother Roger, Brother Leroy and myself, we're here to do what? To testify unto you of these things. Because we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in all the words that are in here. So we're testifying unto you of Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's that bright and morning star as we sing that song. Isn't that where we sing the between the thing and the chorus? Hallelujah. You know, He's the bright and morning star. He's the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. These are the things that He is and He should be to each and every one of us. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Praise God for these words that He has given unto His people to write down and give unto us. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. We've seen it in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God. He's with God now. But it says that, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. I like the way God said that, Lord Leroy. Which is. That's the way it should be. Because Jesus is right now. And He was. He was upon this earth. He is right now. And He is going to come again. He is going to come again. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which we just read from Matthew is being interpreted as God with us. He is God manifested in the flesh. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know if I've got that highlighted on here, but you know, when we look at that, we see that the Lamb of God, that perfect sacrifice, that sacrifice for sins, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now we know the world that they're talking about, because He says He's going to save His people from their sins. Luke 1:32, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. You can see He's the Son of the Highest. All these different names. I think, Leroy, you even have a tie that has the names of Jesus on it, don't you? But we see these things. John, 1 John 2:1. I like when they write. And 1 John, if you look, I think he calls it my little children a lot in there, doesn't he? Because he says, little children, right at the very end, little children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If any man sin, we have an advocate. So we have another word. He's our advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. The chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the chief shepherd. Roger, Leroy, myself are under shepherds. We're not the shepherd, we're the under shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. He's that. But look at that. When He is appeared, you know what? We're going to receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. We received a crown of glory, Brother Roger. It's not going to fade away. It's never going to fade away, because a child of God is going to be with Him forever. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So He's the author and finisher of our faith, isn't He? And you know, some people would think this is an odd statement that was written here, who for the joy that was set before Him. But Jesus Himself very plainly says, no man takes my life. I give my life. That's what He was sent into the world to do, was to die upon the cross. So for Him, it was joy, because He was doing what? He was doing the will of His Father, which is in heaven. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. So we can see. Now, in this world in which we live today, you know, if people do a lot of jobs, what do they say, Brother Leroy? Oh, that man wears a lot of hats. You ever heard that? Man wears a lot of hats. Let me tell you. I don't think it's going to be hard to count all the hats that Jesus Christ wears, all the things that he does, all the things that he is for each and every one of us. Here he is. He's the apostle and high priest for us of our profession. We profess to be Christians, don't we? So we can see these things. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. See, there's so many things. Like I said, I could have read, just started reading the whole New Testament, you know. But I want to do is get your interest to look at some of these things. Go on the internet and look up some of these things and read these things. I mean, I've only highlighted maybe a tenth of all the verses and everything that are here. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. These are words that we can take a hold on in this week coming up and say unto ourselves, and look unto this. You know that he's the resurrection and life. If I believe in him, I was dead, yet I'm going to live. That's the way we all were. We were dead. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who, what? Were dead in trespasses and sins. John 3:16, we already read. John 1:4, we already read. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Do we know him that is true? Remember that one time I came out, what do we know? It's the same thing with believe. It's a good question to ask. I'm asking you this question. Do you believe? What do you believe in? So that you can go back and say, what do I really believe in? Do we really know Jesus Christ? Are we in him that is true? 1 John 4:9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For ye were. We were just talking about that word were. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Leroy, I believe that we were his from the foundation of the world. We were his from the foundation of the world. But we were born in trespasses and sins. And we should not look at this today, but are now returned. Because we were always his, but we were living our lives when we weren't. We are living our lives, what does it say in Ephesians? According to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience. But God never stopped loving us. Jesus Christ never loved us. Because he loved us, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And we are now, this is really a good verse here, you know, but are now, we're now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. It's going to happen. Acts chapter 3, verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. We're going to hear the things. Child of God is going to hear it because our ears have been opened, our eyes have been opened, that we can hear and see the things. I'm only going to read a couple more. You know what? I'm going to stop with this. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We should all be saved. And everyone said, amen to that. I hope that what I've said today is going to help us. You know, because we are under attack in the world today. And we need to stand fast in what we believe in. I wish I could remember where it is. I think it's Quit You Like Men, and it talks about that. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. And I mean, that means doesn't mean to quit like it. It says act like a man. We're going to have to act like we're followers of Jesus Christ in the world today. I thank each and every one for your kind attention this morning.